Welcome to the Cult Video Vault. It gives me no pleasure whatsoever to present your hosts, Robbie and Greg.
Hello and welcome to the Cult Video Vault. I'm Robbie with my co-host Greg, and every episode we pull a movie from the vault and discuss its qualifications as a cult film. Greg, how are you?
I'm pretty good. This film that we're going to discuss today, I've got a weird relationship with it.
I'm interested in our discussion because I don't know how much of the movie we're going to talk about. We're talking a lot about things about surrounding the film, perhaps. Today, we are discussing Troma's 1984 film, The Toxic Avenger, a revenge superhero film, question mark? It follows the Toxic Avenger getting vengeance for his horrible murder. It features blood and guts, toxic waste, and no taste whatsoever.
Meet little Melvin. He's a 90-pound weakling. Everyone hated Melvin.
Yeah, I'm going to take this mop and shove it down your throat.
They teased him.
I want to do it with you.
Okay.
They taunted him. They tormented him until he had a horrifying accident and fell into a vat of nuclear waste. Transforming little Melvin into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength. Melvin became the Toxic Avenger.
Okay, Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Was this your first time watching the Toxic Avenger?
As a whole, yes.
As a whole.
Never as a whole. As a whole. As in its entirety. Yes, it was.
In its entirety.
It's an entirety.
All right. First off, initial thoughts.
I don't hate it. I expected to hate it. I don't love it either, but you know, I've seen clips of it many times over the years. And a part of me is like, well, maybe I didn't even see clips of this. I might have seen clips from two or three or however many sequels there are.
This has spawned three direct sequels. And then there is a brand new reboot or a retread of the Toxic Avenger that is yet to be released to the public. It went to Fantastic Fest last year, but still has not actually gone out and had a public release.
Is that bad, though? Does that mean it?
I don't know, because Legendary Pictures is the one that's backing it, and it's got Peter Dinklage in it. It received pretty good reviews. It says it's a lot of fun in the vein of the original. It's different than the original. So it's not just a complete remake. So I've been looking forward to watching it, being that I'm more a fan of the idea and the design of the Toxic Avenger than I am of the actual movies.
There's the things I appreciate and respect about the movie and Troma in general, but also I would not necessarily call myself a Troma fan or a fan of their films, like, largely.
Yeah. Okay, for the audience that isn't familiar with Troma films, Troma has been around for 50 years now. Lloyd Kaufman, God bless him, has been making and producing movies for 50 years under the Troma brand. And they specialize in low, micro, and no budget movies. Specifically, the more gross and schlocky, the better.
Yes. And, you know, it's not too different from, you know, Roger Corman movies. You know what you're getting into.
Right. You are going to see the most disgusting effects possible. You're going to see a lot of boobs, unnecessary violence, politically incorrect, every which way.
You're very unlikely to stumble into a Troma film and not realize what you're getting. I think that's why I respect Troma and other people like them that are different. They sell their product for what it is. They are not trying to trick people into thinking this is some high art.
Yes, you're right. It's not Asylum, right?
Right.
Asylum makes these knockoff movies for years. Like if the Incredible Hulk comes out, they'll make the Incredulous Bulk and put it out on Redbox so it'll confuse grandmothers everywhere. Like, oh, my son wants to watch this one, and accidentally rent the wrong film and go home and now we got to watch a terrible Asylum movie. It never happened to me, Robbie.
Never. there's that part of it where I don't, you know, they know what they're making and I know you know, I go to many horror cons, mm-hmm. and I know you see the people, you see the cult, you know, I meet the cult. You see the people dressed up as Toxie who are, you know, walking around. You see
the citizens of Tromaville.
Exactly. You see them and they love it. And I'm not one of those people, but I go, oh, well, I am just like that for other things. They enjoy the tastelessness, the gore, the pointless nudity. The nudity is just there to like, hey, look, boobs. They're here. Look at them. You're like, okay, got it. Cool.
I would say that Troma is the rare production company that 100% of their output would be considered cult films.
Yeah, probably. I mean, almost by design. Like, they have to be.
Exactly.
Circling back around to The Toxic Avenger, this might be... Is this their most famous movie?
I would say so. I would say it is the most well-known of their catalog just because of Toxie, of the actual character, the Toxic Avenger, that has been used not just in Troma's marketing, not just in their movies, but it was a children's cartoon in the 90s that whenever they swapped it over to the Toxic Crusaders, it was actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed the hell out of that cartoon as a kid. I had the video game and a couple of the action figures. Like I really clung to Toxic Crusaders as a kid, not knowing it was the spawn of 1984's The Toxic Avenger.
And Toxie himself feels like a mascot.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's Tony the Tiger.
And to be fair, feels very representative of their brand in general. Like, you look at him, he's a melted mess of a thing that just, as far as I can tell, just likes to inflict torture on people.
Yeah, but he's nice.
Oh, is he nice? Is he?
Well, I mean, you hear him talk, and he helps the kids. Hey, kids, how you doing? I'm Toxie, the Toxic Avenger. So at Weird Wednesday, we actually had Lloyd Kaufman come into town and we screened Poltergeist. And of course, we had to have a Toxie on site. So he was there. We got to have meet and greet with Lloyd Kaufman and the Toxic Avenger. Dude, that was probably one of the biggest turnouts for a Weird Wednesday that I have ever had. Like, if the fire marshal was there, he would have shut it down because there was too many people there.
The movie itself, like, my first line in the notes is, how do you discuss this movie?
It's gross. I think that's the number one thing. It's gross.
It is gross. I can't argue with that. It revels in it. The film basically starts with us being introduced to our quote-unquote protagonist, who is
Melvin the Mop Boy.
Yes, Melvin. When I bring up the question of like, how do you discuss this movie, and I go, mm-hmm. oh, look at my problem with this movie, things like that, mm-hmm. you're like, well, yeah, I guess it is a problem in that I don't like Melvin, but does it matter? Does this movie care? No.
I think it's so weird that we don't actually spend much time with Melvin. We spend so much time with Bozo and the bad guys in comparison to Melvin, who is our protagonist.
And when you say the word, oh, this movie's gross, yeah, it's filled with disgusting gore and disgusting behavior and disgusting people.
Yes.
It's not just, oh, the effects are gross. Oh, no,
it's gross across the board, man.
This is a template for The Greasy Strangler.
Where every cell of film has a bit of grime mm-hmm. to it that you just can't scrape off no matter how much you scrub.
Every moment you're watching, you're like, ew.
Like, and it's not for the weak of heart. It is structurally a mess. It's mostly just like montage and clip shows, scene by scene, that kind of connect, but really don't. You understand the characters within a minute of seeing them, and they don't really develop or change. It's not that type of movie.
Feels like a superhero film in a weird way with those montages. It feels wrong to say this, but obviously it feels a little bit like 78 Superman. It feels a little, especially in the middle chunk of it, really, when they're like trying to show, oh, Toxic Avenger, he's a good guy. then
right.
even though it's entirely disgusting. But if you know where in Superman you cut away to Lex Luthor, right? You cut away to the bad guys doing their plan. Mm-hmm. It feels that same way. It's just everything is like grimy and gross
and cheap
and cheap. Well, Superman is like nice and polished and yeah. you know, feels like a movie. But
you can obviously tell that Lloyd Kaufman, who created the Toxic Avenger, was using that as a template.
Mm-hmm. It's there, but it also, and I think this gets a little bit closer to the griminess and the grossness stuff, is this feels like Death Wish.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Death Wish. I think one thing that we haven't mentioned is that this is a comedy first and foremost. You just said like, oh yeah, it's a revenge superhero movie.
I guess it's a
it's a spoof. It's a comedy. A
parody. It's, I think my problem, Greg, is I hesitate to call it a comedy because I did not laugh at anything.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And that's okay. And that's it has a specific type of humor that just isn't for everybody.
It's very over the top. It's very corny.
Absolutely. It's super cornball. And I think that is what was so shocking on my initial watch. Like, I've seen this a bunch growing up. I think the first time I saw it, I was probably 19 or 20 and just couldn't wrap my head around what I was actually seeing. Cause I was going to college. I was going to film school at the time. And again, I was the, oh man, I don't understand why people watch bad movies. And I had bought Lloyd Kaufman's book, Make Your Own Damn Movie, because I wanted to be a filmmaker. And that book was a Bible to no-budget, micro-budget filmmaking. And there are some fantastic tips in there. I still have my copy from whenever I was a teenager that, thank God, I got Lloyd to sign whenever we had him come to Weird Wednesday. So going in to The Toxic Avenger, having read the book before watching The Toxic Avenger, was just like, oh, it was that. You use a watermelon to crush somebody's head mm-hmm. on screen. You know, it's little cheap effects like that that he was able to cobble together to make the Toxic Avenger over the top and larger than life with little to no money. And I think that is one of the endearing factors of the Toxic Avenger and why we can't really hate on it.
I would never. And again, all my criticism, like, it doesn't matter. That's the other thing. Like, right. I don't think it's very funny, but there's plenty of people who do think it's very funny. They enjoy the cornball aspects of it. You know, the cornball mixed with the right. incredible gore and
it's not and it's grossness. Not like one of those movies where we are just like baffled at why someone would possibly like this. Like we understand that perspective enough to appreciate it, even though we're not technically in that cult or in that demographic.
It's intermission time, folks.
It's time for another intermission here at the Cult Video Vault. Today's topic, the length of feature films. Hey, Robbie. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you like sitting for 3 fucking hours in a movie theater?
If you had stopped at do you like sitting, I'd be like, oh man, I love sitting, it's great. But for 3 hours in one place without and I can't move, no, not generally. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah,
not a big fan.
So I went and saw Dune Part 2 yesterday, so that was a long sit. I did go sneak away to the bathroom once. I felt like I didn't miss anything. But
sneak away with that popcorn bucket.
Yeah, man, I had to go get that popcorn bucket filled up. But okay, is it just me or a lot of these movies feel like they're progressively getting longer?
I don't know if it's. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it feels like it is a thing where, like, I never want to be the guy who, back in my day, that kind of person. And, like, I'm sure if we went back and looked at film in the past, there would always be some releases that were longer. And there probably were people complaining about them back then. There are probably people going like, why is this movie so long? Why isn't this 15 minutes? We can't tell a story in 15 minutes. The movie's too long. And I think it's more complicated now because there are other ways you can, so many other ways you can consume a movie. Like, and why go to a theater for, like, I don't necessarily mind a 3-hour movie. I do mind a 3-hour movie where I'm trapped basically in one spot. And if I was at my house, I have a huge television on my comfy couch with my dog.
And a pause button.
And a pause button where I can go get a snack or use the bathroom, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those options weren't available back in the day. Now they are. And even more so, you start to, we also broach the question. It's not just, oh, I could watch this at home. It's also like, just make a TV show, right?
When you hit a certain length. So there's two milestones, in my opinion, that when a movie hits a certain length, you're right. Make it a miniseries. Or, you know what? Give me an intermission. How about that? There used to be intermissions in movies that were fairly common. So you would give the audience a break, and then they would come back and finish the movie. I don't see any reason why we can't bring that back if movies are going to constantly get longer and longer.
The Hateful Eight, I went and saw the, when it came out, I saw the, you know, the,
right,
it had the fancy film, brought 70mm, I think it was. I saw that, and it had an intermission in it. And I remember getting up and leaving the theater and walking around for 5 minutes and like, this is so nice.
Right?
This is so lovely. I get, the movie's long. I'm going to get a little break in it, stretch my legs, go use the bathroom.
So then, think about this from a movie theater perspective. You just gave everybody the opportunity to go buy more popcorn, buy more drinks, go buy more stuff.
Right. And I think there is that something, I mean, and maybe I'm going to put this out here. I think that some smart movie theaters out there may be a few out there who decide and go, wait a minute, maybe we're going to start doing this for any movie over 2 hours. You know,
it's beyond the movie theater's control in certain situations because it's dictated by the distributor. It's not dictated by the theater.
The theater couldn't pause a movie with enough advance notice, you don't think?
So a lot of the ways that they're projecting, you've got to actually like unlock a key and ping a server in order to...
Okay.
Yeah. There are checks and balances on like, oh, did you actually run this movie? Or do you have access to this movie? And also, I think if you look back at a lot of the intermissions, that it's actually part of the film where they will play like orchestral music with an image on the screen during the intermission.
The movie doesn't technically stop.
Exactly. Right. It's built in to the movie.
And I think there is a part of me that was like, well, if you try to tell Christopher Nolan that we're going to pause your movie, he would flip his wig. He'd lose his mind. He's like, how dare you impugn my integrity of my film?
But I think if the right filmmaker were to write it with an intermission in mind, is that you put it on a cliffhanger. You put it on like, I've got to come back. I've got to see what happens next. And now you've just hooked the audience back into your movie.
And I think a lot of the time, pacing matters. If your movie is fast-paced, if there's always something happening and, you know, those types of films, not a slower film, you never run into the situation where like, oh, I want to check my watch. I want to see that. I want to, like, how much time's left in this movie? Like, is there another hour and a half? Things like that. If the movie's fast-paced.
Shit, I was doing that in Dune. Yeah.
If the movie's fast-paced and interesting, I'm less likely to be concerned about the length because I don't really, my mind's on the film. I'm going, what's going on? What's the mystery?
Yeah. Time passes fast whenever you're having fun.
So it's not just a product of that, but I would love an opportunity, but film is in such a strange place right now. Theaters are in such a strange place right now.
Yeah. We're seeing lots of closures in theaters. The multiplexes can't survive.
And I think that's a part of it, but ultimately like I think this is the thing ultimately where it's like, what is a movie anymore? What is a movie? right? Is a movie, like, what that question is, or what's a television show? What's a miniseries? Like, all these words that we had, all these things were mostly limited by the format of media, like, of films and of like literal film, of commercials, and like, what's a, if you have a television show, oh, it has to be 44 minutes long, right? It has to be 22 minutes long. It has to fit into those times, because, oh, it has to be on television. So it has to have commercials. It has to have this. And as more and more things are produced independently or produced by streaming services that have no constraints, you can have it. Like, you see many hour long prestige dramas now that are just like, oh, this episode's 40 minutes long. This one's an hour and five, because that's how it worked. And I feel like maybe our theaters are still built around this idea. Oh, it's a 90 minute to 3 hour long thing. We have this many set showings in a day. They haven't adapted. They haven't changed their way. And I will they? I don't know. I don't think movie theaters are dead forever. I think, like all things, no, it ebbs and flows.
No. You just have to evolve. I'm technically still working on getting my own theater here locally off the ground, and it'll be an endeavor, to say the least. It'll be a single screen, single stage theater that will not just be a movie theater. It's got to be more than that to supplement, because you can't survive on just movies.
Yes, and I think that the smart people like Greg, like my humble co-host, will understand that and do their best to change with the times, and try and maybe put pressure on places. Hey, like, maybe we should allow for intermissions or things like that. And the length of a movie is only a part of the equation. Mm-hmm. But it is something where I go, if anything's over 2 hours long, it better be over 2 hours for a very good reason.
Right. You got to have enough story to get us there.
Right.
If you are just running to run, dude, I ain't for it.
There's a certain point where, if it doesn't really matter, if it doesn't need to be in the movie, why? Like, you know, when you say, oh, I watched Dune 2. I went to the bathroom. I don't think I missed anything. You're like, well,
yeah.
And I guess you didn't miss. I mean, does it need to be that long then? Is it really just to be indulgent for Denis Villeneuve?
Yeah, if anybody follows me on Letterboxd, they know that the length of a movie is very important, and I will almost always call it out in my review if it's worth the runtime.
You were talking about Lloyd Kaufman's the book, you know, and his ethos, the DIY ethos of Troma, and, you know, Lloyd Kaufman's a big old carny. But it's how when you say, oh, he's been doing this for 50 years and continues to thrive and survive while movie making has changed so dramatically in those 50 years. And yet Troma's still around. How many film companies have come and gone in that time period? Right. So many. And as a person, I am, you know, I'm a self-published author. I like podcasting because it's so DIY, because it appeals to that kind of indie idea of, like, bootstraps, pull yourself off the ground, make it, even if you don't have the best equipment or, you know, the best appeal or whatever, you want to make something, so you do it. So when I see The Toxic Avenger and I go, oh, it's gross, I'm like, ugh, it makes my skin crawl, and some of the most of it is incredibly problematic, and it doesn't culturally, you're like, that doesn't make any, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter in the long run, because I go, well, because it exists, it is like, it appeals to me, like, on a very pure, like, I'm gonna here, The Toxic Avenger is art.
Absolutely.
And when you have this appeal, when someone goes, oh, I want to make something, and it is this, and I love professional wrestling. I love lots of like heavy metal. I like lots of lowbrow, you know, art that a lot of people say, that's not art. That's disgusting. That's filth. That appeals to
the lowest
common denominator. And I'm like, no, I can't. You see the art in it, and the Toxic Avenger. Yeah. Just because I'm like, I don't. because I've liked those things, I don't ever want to be the person and goes, oh, that's not art. That's not
right.
This is like, yeah.
All of a sudden you're gatekeeping.
Exactly. And when you talk about, oh, they use a watermelon for the effects. Well, like, that's how you, and like, you don't go, oh, that's stupid. You go, that's brilliant. That's really clever. It works so well. Yeah. And like, that's really smart. Like, how do you make a feature length movie with very little budget? And to be fair, like, how much return have they gotten on the Toxic Avenger over the years?
Oh my gosh. It's been the cash cow.
There's is the other thing. Like, you mentioned Asylum. And it's not just them. There are so many of those kinds of companies where it's clearly just an attempt to make money. Like, it's the
right.
It's just, they just want to, like, let's sidle in, make something to cheat people out of money that, because they think they're seeing something
that's
else.
It's a nefarious. They're the bad guys.
They are the bad guys.
They're being very tricky on purpose about the type of film that they release.
While no one goes into making the Toxic Avenger going, you know what? This is going to be the big hit. this is going to be the one we're going to be millionaires. No one does. Right. They didn't do that. They went, you know, it'd be fun. You know, it'd be fun. Right. A stupid movie where this nerd, the 98-pound weakling.
And he turns into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength.
Who kills bad guys. I think there's like some connection to Peter Jackson's splat stick stuff. Yeah. Where like some of the comedy is the fact that the violence is so over the top.
I think you have to look at the year it was released. So it was released in 1984. We are in the middle of the VHS revolution, right? Mm-hmm. Where grindhouses have shut down, continued to shut down, and the schlocky movies are booming on VHS. We're filled up with video nasties. It's all the forbidden fruit that you want as a teenager. And the Toxic Avenger is loaded with forbidden fruit. This is everything that you weren't supposed to watch.
And I think that perspective is something you have to consider, because you and I are incredibly desensitized to most things. We've seen everything, and in this era,
we've seen some shit, boys.
We've seen it all. We are grizzled. But
we're the old war vets.
Is it? I have a question, but I'll table it until I finish this part.
Okay.
And we have so much access now. That's the other thing. I can watch any movie I want, or most of them, through some means. I can find a way to see most film. If I want to see a movie, if I want to see a TV show, I can find a way.
At our fingertips without leaving the house.
Right. I don't have to go.
Even Troma has evolved. They have their own app. They have Troma Now. Hey, Uncle Lloyd, pay me. they have Troma Now for only $4.99 a month. And the first month is free.
I'll happily.
He'll never pay me.
I was going to say.
He'll just say, thanks, Greg.
I was going to say, I'm like, I would ask for a Troma sponsorship. We're not getting that. And if we did, dude, they wouldn't pay us for it. We'd get free memberships, maybe. To the streaming service. But when you had to go into a video store, what you could watch was limited to what was on the shelves.
Yes.
And when you're overwhelmed with, like, in the mid-80s, when you're a kid and you see every single one of those tapes, or even DVDs, as time progressed, you're like, that is a window. That is a little window into a new world. And it's easy to forget that sometimes, because it's so easy to watch so many films now at our fingertips. When you transport yourselves back to 1984.
Yes, I know a lot of the listeners missed out on video stores. But if you were to go open up Tubi, go open up Amazon Prime right now, and you just look at the sheer amount of titles, you could walk into some video stores and physically be surrounded by those titles, which is like both thrilling and overwhelming at the same time. I miss that. I miss it so much.
Yeah. I want to recapture that. You know, you want that feeling again, but there is, I think, that battle for nostalgia, and that also part of it is just you're a kid, you're young. And because you haven't been exposed to so much art, you haven't seen so many things, it's that sense, that feeling of being overwhelmed is even bigger because you haven't seen so many films. You haven't seen the variety out there. Mm-hmm. And so you're just like, what is this? The Toxic Avenger. What is this? The why? Look at the poster. You see the you're like, what is this creature? What is going, what is this movie? And you know, it's all, you're a bunch of raw nerves when you're younger. So that feeling of like, oh wow, there's boobs and there's violence and it's crazy and everything's and it's so different. Like you, in your notes, Craig, you use the word novelty. And yes. I feel like the word novelty has become a pejorative at some point. Like it's like, oh, it's a novelty. You throw it, it's a toy. You throw it away. You use it for a moment and you throw it away. And I don't like that. I feel like it is a novelty, but novelty is not, I would not use that as a pejorative. I would use it as it's an interesting perspective. And one that is a little bit more common nowadays, but in 1984, you have to look at it through that. I think a part of it, analyzing any film, is looking at it through that lens. And I feel like in 1984, this was different. It was weird. It was new. And frankly, Troma kind of created a, like we talk about the cult of this film and Troma in general, they created a niche for themselves. They created that space.
They were pioneers and trailblazers, my friend. there was nothing else really like the Toxic Avenger. There was nothing like a Troma movie before Troma existed.
Right.
And now you can see tons and tons of copycats or homages or people trying to emulate what Lloyd Kaufman set out to do. I would say like Lloyd Kaufman took pages from Roger Corman. Mm-hmm. He took pages from Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Herschel Gordon Lewis.
By taking the cheapness of Roger Corman and the grossness of Herschel Gordon Lewis and then adding his own comedy elements, was able to build a completely new path for filmmakers.
Yeah. And I think The Toxic Avenger is fine. Ultimately, I think it's a fine movie. It is barely, it doesn't really have much of a story. It's an assembly of things happening that you understand. It's not confusing, but because it did that, I have to respect it. I have to respect it and Troma, and I have to respect the idea like, oh, I have that same drive. I want to create art and put it out there and try and create my own niche and create my own cult. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, but like good old Uncle Lloyd.
Yeah. I do love Lloyd. He knows what he's doing, and he is so appreciative of his fan base and what they have built on their own. He's proud to show off any types of art or fan films or anything Troma related. He appreciates it, which you can't say for a lot of filmmakers.
No, you can't. And I think that that's another appeal, is this like the DIY aesthetic and the idea that these people are reachable. They're not big movie stars. They're not untouchable. They feel like they're among us commoners, us common folk. I don't know. The Toxic Avenger, it is a cool movie. Like there's some of these where you're just like, of course. Yeah, of course. It will never not be. It's too, it's right. Too
it's
gross.
It's always been cult. And it's never been mainstream.
Never. There is like, even when you have that, the cartoon, mm-hmm. that which
even the cartoon is a cult cartoon.
Exactly. It's never been able, it's by design, in that it is like purposefully crass. It is purposefully tasteless. It is purposefully gross. No normal person is going to watch this and go, "Ooh, that's fun."
Thanks for listening to the Cult Video Vault. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and tag us in everything you think belongs on the podcast. My name is Greg, a.k.a. The Movie Mutant, and you can find me at themoviemutant.com.
I'm Robbie Dorman. You can find everything I do on robbiedorman.com with links to purchase all of my horror novels. You should go buy them because they're good. I'm Robbie Dorman on all social media platforms, but I'm most active on Instagram.
We'll see you next time in the vault.